Bickley and Murata on this Monday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bick coming to you live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. One of the big stories that hit from college athletics yesterday, a letter appearing on the Players Tribune penned by a group of hundreds of Pac-12 football players with representation from all the universities, it seems, claiming they will sit out the season if a list of demands is not met. Anywhere from extended health care to revenue concerns to social justice issues. Here to talk about it with us from the San Jose Mercury News, John Wilner, our guest here on Bickley Murata. John, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This letter, and Dan and I were talking about it earlier in the show, certainly bold. The timing of it is somewhat interesting with the proximity to the proposed start of the season. My question to you, I guess, just to start things off is, as a whole, how realistic do you think this list of demands is to be met by the powers that be in the Pac-12?
Well, some of them, I think, are basically impossibly met, but some of them are very realistic.
Yeah.
It could be met. Now, can they be met in the, whatever it is, 3 or 4 weeks before training camp starts, or the 6 weeks before the season starts? You know, that's another matter. Some of the demands are campus level, some are conference level, some are NCAA level, and, you know, one of them is even before Congress right now. So there is a wide range of demands, and, you know, we'll see. I certainly applaud the players, especially for their requests on the health and safety front and, you know, racial justice. Those, I think, are very doable.
John, when you take a look now, do you think this is the tip of a bigger iceberg, if you will, where Pac-12 players are kind of letting schools and coaches and universities know that you can put out all the schedules you want, but we're not going forward with the season until you talk to us, until you cut us in on this deal? And is it a part of just a bigger new era in college athletics in general?
I think it's definitely that. I think that especially with, you know, police brutality and what that has sparked in terms of the athletes feeling empowered to speak out, there's no question it's a new era. And the coaches especially are going to have to adjust to that. Some of the old school coaches, you know, it could be a little bit difficult for them in terms of dealing with the players moving forward. Though, you know, is there going to be a Pac-12 football season? Are these guys going to boycott en masse? I am skeptical of that. I think it's important to distinguish between three types of players here. One of them is the large group of players that supports the movement in general and some of the demands, especially for health, but is not willing to sit out to get these demands met. Then you've got some players who are going to have to sit out for health reasons, right? They've got underlying risks, and they, you know, whether it's sickle cell or whatever, and they are going to be forced to sit out. And then the big question is, how many players will sit out because the demands aren't met? You know, just movement specific, not related to their own health and safety, but because, or because, not related to their own underlying conditions, but just because they want these demands to be met, and if they're not, they're going to sit out. I don't know that there's going to be that many of those players. I think there's almost every one of them feels solidarity with the movement, and almost every one of them is going to play no matter what, if they're allowed to play because of the virus.
Yeah, John Wilner of the Pac-12 Hotline Newsletter joining us here on Bickley and Murata. Specific situation going on at Washington State that was circulating on social media yesterday. Cassidy Woods, wide receiver, tells new coach Nick Rolovich that he's going to opt out because of he has sickle cell trait. Rolovich says, well, are you in line with this We Are United movement? And he says, yes. Rolovich says that's a problem. Is Nick Rolovich kind of supplying a blueprint on how not to handle this if you're a Pac-12 coach right now, John?
He is. And I think that the Pac-12 would be well to, like, put a little seminar together for their head coaches very quickly here in terms of teaching them how to deal with the players in terms of athlete rights. Rolovich, I thought, handled it very poorly, communicated very poorly. The bottom line, you know, from the school standpoint, is once Cassidy Woods said, I'm opting out because I'm a health risk, that was kind of it, right?
Right.
He's done. He can't then turn around and go weightlift with those guys or play throw the ball with those guys. The school can't have them that happen. But Rolovich, I thought, did a clumsy job of communicating that to him specifically. And then also, for reasons he may regret, just kind of launched into this thing about the unity movement that came off looking very poor. And I don't know if he's going to issue a clarification statement of some sort, but it was very poorly handled with that. He handled the COVID-related stuff just fine, but everything else was poorly handled.
All right, John, when the Pac-12 released their schedule last week, I'm sure you could almost hear the gasp in Tempe when we all learned that ASU and Arizona was going to play in the first week of the season. This morning, Michael Crow was on the radio here on our news station, and he basically said the way things are going now, we've left room to play that game at the end of the season. The way things are going now, that's probably where that game is going to be played. What do you think about still the chances? I know that the schedule has given some hope to people that this might actually really happen. When are they going to commit to actually playing these games? What do you think of that?
Well, I guess I could say better, they're going to bail when they have no choice but to bail. And until that point, they're going to keep moving forward and fingers crossed and hoping beyond hope. Training camp is as early as August 17th. I don't think all 12 schools will be able to start then. September 26th, to me, I wouldn't have been surprised if they had come out early October, right, for the start. But the problem is, though, you kind of have a hard stop the weekend of December 19th. You kind of have to have your championship game then, because if you've got a team that's going to the playoff, you got to give that team an extra week. And the playoffs are the Rose and Sugar on January 1st. They couldn't move the championship game back beyond December 19th. So the further back you start, the less flexibility you have for makeup dates, right? So right now there's two weekends built in for makeup games. Arizona and Arizona State, the way they designed it is any group of four teams that are playing each other the first 2 weeks, they have the same bye in the middle of the season. So either of those two games can be moved, if it's canceled, can be moved back to that bye. Then they also have the week December 12th to play makeup games. So, I don't know that I wouldn't be optimistic about the Territorial Cup on the first week of the season. The last week, probably yes. But we'll see how it goes. It's going to be real interesting once the kids get back, how much is the virus going to spread to the athletes once the kids are back? That's going to be the big question.
John Wilner, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. There's a lot at this point of where we are in dealing with this pandemic. There's a lot of referendum on leadership, different walks of life. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, is getting lauded for how he's handled things and how they're operating under it. And I know it's hard, and I know Larry Scott has been raked over the coals during his time as the commissioner of the Pac-12. It's hard to govern this when you're overseeing a conference that is in six different states with six different situations. But overall, how do you think Larry Scott and Pac-12 leadership has handled this, John?
I think they've done very well since they started middle of March. And I've heard from numerous folks who work on the campuses in the athletic departments, and they've been very complimentary of the role the conference office has played in terms of, supporting the schools with whether it's information or facilitating communications, arranging for the medical advisory board to provide guidelines for bringing the players back, working with the NCAA on matters of the football calendar, communicating with the other conferences on issues. I think the conference office has done a very good job. There's no doubt about that during the crisis.
All right, lastly, though, and we joked very flatteringly last week about how you and John Canzano are kind of like the Woodward and Bernstein of Pac-12 reporting. What did you had to be appalled to learn how the LA Times and the Pac-12 almost became involved in a really unethical agreement? Yes, no?
Certainly, as a journalist, the LA Times' role to me was, that hit deeper than the Pac-12's, right? Because I'm envisioning, my own newsroom doing something like that and how it would make my stomach churn. So, and I don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of what's involved in public relations, but I do know the ins and outs of what's involved in a newspaper, independent newspaper, and that was very difficult to read.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was a worse look for the LA Times than it was the Pac-12. But, John, as always, we appreciate the time and the insight. Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Hey, stay safe down there. Thanks.
You too. Thanks, John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, Pac-12 Hotline newsletter. He joined us here on Bickley and Marotta.